Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
This morning, as you are aware, we have been given, following the theme for 2026, Receiving the Spirit, we are continuing the study from Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 30. The title given to us is The Spirit's Mission Through Jesus. Now, the scripture reading will be given by our sister Annie Lam. And you will notice that the scripture reading that I've placed has got a difference, but you'll see the letters in red, that is the words of Jesus. Whereas the letters in white, or in my Bible be black, that's the word of Luke. What is the difference between these two? Think about it for a moment. The difference is that what is written by Luke is about 40 years after the words of Christ were spoken. That's the difference. There's a gap between 40 years in the words that Luke writes and the spoken words of Christ. With that, can I invite Annie Lam to come forward?
Luke 4, verses 14 to 30. This is from the NIV version. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unfolding it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off. But he walked through the crowd and went on his way. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you so much, Annie, for reading the Word of God. All Christian missions or ministry are biblical, theological, and spiritual. Obeying God, preaching Christ, and all that we do is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Allow me to use an illustration of Operation Auka. Jim Elliot and his four friends lost their lives on 8th January 1956 in reaching the Warani tribe in the jungles of Ecuador. At the time of their demise, the team grieved. We lost at that point of time. Can we say that Operation Auka was a failure? Not so. In my opinion, we look beyond tragic moments. The mission continued through Jim Elliot's widow, Elizabeth, and she spent 2 years later as a missionary to the tribe members who killed her husband. So in our ministry, we always look at a point of time. But when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it is not just that moment of time. It is before, at that moment, and even after. I've been to many mission trips. Formerly, I was the chairman of the mission committee. And there was one mission trip when I led to Cambodia during the time of the civil war. The war between Prince Sihanouk and Hun Sen. And that time when we were there, we have to sleep with our passport, our pouch, and sleep on the floor, and wearing shoes, wearing dress, not pajamas, but dress, because we can hear the bombs outside, gunfire outside. And because of that, when we went, what was it like at that point of time? Now, I thank God I've been to many mission trips, and I have a slogan for my team members, and I call it, expect the unexpected. And we went to Nepal with my wife in 2019. And on the journey to Hitauda, we landed at Kathmandu, we went by Hitauda. And it was very narrow along the mountainside. In fact, as we passed the cars, we went side by side. You can actually look down a few hundred feet, wrangled remains of buses, lorries, not lorry, jeeps. You can see. I also thank God that I was alive. Before I went, I told my eldest daughter what to do in the event I do not come back alive. But I came back, and today I'm here speaking to you. Success of our mission, or when I use the word mission, it also involves in you can also put ministries. Success of our mission is always through time. And whether we live or die, it is the Holy Spirit that empowers our mission. And the Holy Spirit is with us throughout our mission. I selected the acronym CPR for my message today so that you can easily remember. I always have one line statement. If I want to preach, I have to write out one line. And the one line summary of this morning's message is, the Holy Spirit's mission through Christ involves the commencement, the proclamation of Jesus Christ, and a calling for a response from the listeners. So we look at CPR. And we'll look at the background first. And then we'll look at the commencement of Jesus' public ministry in Galilee, verses 14 to 15. The proclamation of Jesus' mission in the synagogue at Nazareth. The response of all those in the synagogues. Let's look at the background of verses 14 to 30. Last Sunday, Elder Yifeng preached from Luke 4, verses 1 to 13. And we read in 4:1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. And Jordan was where Jesus was baptized. And then he was led by the Spirit up the desert. In the third temptation, we read in chapter 4, verse 9, the devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. And today's reading, we also see a peril. Because at the end, what happened was Jesus was taken to the brow of a hill. And when we read Luke's gospel, we look at it as Luke's careful investigation. And it encompasses the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, if you study very deeply and intensively, looking and study the text, you will see patterns. You will see literary structures. You will see that Luke's writing also involves Jesus, not only historical narrative, but travel narrative. And you also see that Luke has a very special place for geography and topography. Where did I get this from? And you can actually confirm this because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Luke wrote, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." In fact, if you look at Luke's writing, you don't see a personal, you see a personal testimony. More than that, like I told you just now, when you read the words of Jesus, that was about AD 30. And by the time Luke wrote, it was about AD 70. And the first time that Luke used a personal pronoun, we, referring to him and Paul, was in Acts chapter 16, verse 10. Because he wrote, "After Paul had seen the vision of a man of Macedonia, of vision of a man, that's within what I added in. We, that means Paul and Luke, got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Verses 14 to 15 is the commencement of Jesus' public ministry. Reading Luke 14:4-14-15, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogue, and everyone praised him. This is the first section that we are dealing with. I put on a map for us to identify where this Galilee is. You see, Galilee is actually a region, not a town. It's by the Sea of Galilee. And we note, actually, 14 and 15 is a summary statement. A summary statement of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. News about him spread through the whole countryside. Jesus was going around teaching in their synagogues. I want you to observe two things. One is the word there. Why did Luke write the word there? It's simply this. Luke, as writer, a Gentile. The recipient, Theophilus, is also a Gentile. The author and the receiver, recipient, both are Gentiles. When Luke wrote theirs, or their, it simply means referring to the Jews. That's why the word there is. And another thing that I want you to notice is actually synagogue. Synagogues is in plural. It simply means the whole region of Galilee, there were synagogues around. It simply means that Jesus was already teaching in these synagogues. And what was it? Everyone praised it. That was the response in Galilee. And it was the Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to teach in Galilee. And now we turn to the next section, verses 16 to 27, when Jesus returned to Nazareth to preach and not teach. What's the difference between teaching and preaching? Have you ever thought about it? When I teach, I actually communicate knowledge. And you have to get this knowledge as information, and you have to digest it. It's more of a cognitive level. But preaching is different. Preaching goes to the heart of the person. In my life, in a preaching, as a preaching many times, I tell you something. Actually, I like today's setting. I actually see your eyes. I look at you and I preach to you. Teaching, I teach to the whole class. But when I'm preaching, I'm actually talking to each one of you. And sometimes you realize when after preaching, then somebody came and to me and then tell me, "You talk about me, ah?" No, I said no. I never talk about you. I use the illustration. You think it's you. That's preaching. In my life, I have experienced when I preach, someone slammed the Bible, closed it, and refused to listen from that time onward. But I carry on. I didn't target him. He thought I target him. That's a different thing, you know. I never target the individual, but he thought I was targeting him. So we talk about preaching, and over here, we have a larger section of 12 verses. And that's the proclamation of Jesus' mission in the synagogue at Nazareth. The map here will tell you that Nazareth is a town compared to Galilee. And Nazareth was Jesus' hometown. You see, he says, Jesus, he went back to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read. I want to examine two parts. One is where he had been brought up. And most of the people in Nazareth actually knew who Jesus was. He grew up there. He had his education there. Not only in the town of Nazareth, in that synagogue. You see the word the synagogue, the specific synagogue in Nazareth. He was there. And during the time, Jewish children, they go to synagogues for education. They don't have formal education in the sense of what we use when they say formal education. We go to primary school, secondary school. No. He goes into this synagogue because it's the Jewish culture and practice that every child has to have education. And Jesus went to this synagogue as early as 5 years old. And Jesus learned to read Hebrew, he read Greek, and he reads Aramaic. He also learned to write. So those in the synagogue knows him. But the problem is this. How do they know him? What do they know him as? Son of Joseph, the carpenter. Yes, it's more than that. Because we look at it as Jesus, the fulfillment of the prophets, the law and the prophets. The second phrase is actually, as it was his custom. And this, as his custom, is his practice, his usual thing that he does. And why is it that he does as a small boy? The parents brought him along to the synagogue every Sabbath day. So he continued to go to the synagogue, even as a teenager and as a young adult. That was his custom. If you read Luke chapter 3, verse 23, you will know how old Jesus was at that point of time, because we read Jesus himself was about 30 years old. The significance of 30 years old is very important for the ancient Jewish law and custom. And this is the age considered the full age of maturity, physically, mentally, and suitable for high degree of responsibility. You refer to this in Numbers 4:3, 1 Chronicles 23:3. You see, David was 30 years old when he became a king. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh. So it was significant. But you'll notice something. When Jesus proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," and you'll notice that Jesus was not actually from the line of the Levitical descendant. You read through the genealogy, you don't see the name Aaron appearing in the genealogy in chapter 3. However, Jesus was a high priest, but in the order of Melchizedek. You read this in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. And Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. Hebrews chapter 7, 16 reads, "One who has become a priest, not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life," is referring to Jesus. And when we look at chapter 4, verse 16 to 20, there is actually pattern. There's a structure. Jeffrey Sicker gives us a literary analysis of Luke chapter 4, 16 to 20. And there is, in those who know the word, there is actually a pattern. And the center point is actually the key verse. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Jesus is more than just a carpenter. Jesus is more than just Joseph's son. Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one. He came to proclaim the kingdom of God. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. That is who Jesus is. When he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." And we look at Luke chapter 4, 20 to 21. "Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" To the audience in the synagogue, to those in the synagogue. And they already know who Jesus is. They knew he has been coming here as a child, he as a teenager, as an adult. But here is the difference. Jesus actually can say, point to them, "In your hearing." And what was the mission of Jesus? To preach the good news to the poor. His mission was to heal the sick. His mission is to call sinners to repentance. His mission is to commission representatives to take the message, to drive out demons, and to cure diseases, and to preach the kingdom of God. That's what preaching is. Preaching is about preaching the kingdom of God. It's not about feeling good, how good you feel, but it's calling you to repentance, calling you and to ask you to examine yourself, your sins before the Lord. You see, Jesus read Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, and then told them, "Today it is fulfilled." Then Jesus continued. He exposits Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And this time, as he continued to explain, to clarify, to elaborate what Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. That's what preaching is. Elaborate, continue to expand. And this time, Jesus, from verse 23 to 27, reads, Jesus continued, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the regions of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them were cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Now, there is a lot of difference here. The Jews, they think they were the exclusive one. And suddenly, includes the Gentiles. You see, that drove the synagogue, the people in the synagogue, the Jews in the synagogue, to be furious. Now, furious is in the NIV. If you look at ESV, they say we're filled with wrath. And the word simply means intense fury. Rage. Anger. That's the response of all those in the synagogue. And that brings us to the response, third point. The response of all in the synagogue. Remember, the synagogue were there. The teachers were there. They already were involved in Jesus' upbringing. They knew him. But what happened? They turned. They rejected Jesus. We've covered the commencement. We've covered proclamation. And let's look at the response. When Jesus said that no prophet is accepted in his hometown, he was referring to them, the synagogue. He is in his hometown, Nazareth. He was with the people. It simply means Jesus already knew, you are going to reject me. You see, there is a one of the ways to read the Bible is to read parallel. That means you put Matthew, Mark, Luke, John together and look at the timing, the place, whatever happened, you look at it. And one person by the name of A.T. Robertson, he did this, and he called it the harmony of the Gospels. And he's telling us that whatever, at this point of time, when Jesus was with the Nazareth, in Nazareth, the people in the synagogue already knew what is coming up. You see, what happened is they already knew the miracle of Jesus turning water into wine. They already knew the cleansing of the temple. They already knew the encounter with Nicodemus. You see, the all praise of Jesus in Galilee turned into rage in Nazareth. They knew of miracles. Miracles are powerful testimonies, yes. But at the end, the Word of God, whether you accept or reject, a decision that you may have to make. And we, as God's people, we need to not only listen, but also to obey. You see, the problem is this. In the Jewish synagogue, they heard about this. And they knew about him, his miracles. They think they know the scripture well. They were, after all, Jesus' teacher when he was a small boy. And that's the thing about all of us too. We think we know, but sometimes we really do not know. So when we talk about this, actually, Jesus knew their hearts. He see through them and he knew about them. He knew that Jesus knew that they will reject him. And this is confirmed when John wrote in John 1:11, Jesus came so that which was his own. Jesus came to those who were rich, those to his own, but his own did not receive him. His own did not receive him. That's the all the people in the synagogue. And what did they do? They took him to the cliff and wanted to throw him down, off. But Jesus walked right through them. Now, where do you see the word Holy Spirit here? Jesus has already proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is upon me. And now, with the people, took him off the cliff and wanted to throw him down, he just walked through them. That's the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. Because the time has not yet come. Those in the synagogue could not take the life of Jesus. Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit who's in him, is in control. Not them. Because when we read 3 years later, Jesus declared in John 13:1, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I preach as if Jesus did not provoke them. Jesus loved those in the synagogue. Jesus loved them so much that he was willing to die on the cross to save those in the synagogue in Nazareth. And that's precisely what preaching is all about. To point you to Jesus who died on the cross for my sin and your sin. So that when we come to him, he says, good and faithful servants. We are children, God's children, because we have come to Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He came to save all of us. He came to save the world. We're coming to the end, conclusion. I use CPR because it's about commencement, about proclamation, and the response. But in the first part, with commencement, the key verse is actually verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And in the proclamation, the key verse is actually verse 18. He went to Nazareth, and then he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the response, the key verse is actually, he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. I'd like to just give you two applications. Yes, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person and he works. God is Spirit. Paul uses the word Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ interchangeably. You'll find that in Romans 8, 9 to 11. Within that set, that is used interchangeably. Because to understand about the Holy Spirit, the work and the complete work of the Holy Spirit is always ongoing, whereas Jesus' work is completed on the cross of Calvary until he comes again. We have to understand our understanding of God has to be both immanent and transcendent. Now, it's a big word, but don't just let me explain. I have met people and they say, you cannot say receive the Holy Spirit. Who says so? Reverend Alexa preached about receiving the Holy Spirit. Why did we choose that theme? And the understanding of the Holy Spirit is this. Immanent simply means He is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me and all of us. Holy Spirit is with us. But there's also an understanding about Holy Spirit. You try to understand the Holy Spirit 100%, you can't. You have to live Him as God, as Spirit, and you're on a journey of learning. You're a journey of learning because we are all, the word disciple meaning learner, being learners. And today, all of us are learners. And I want to give you two questions or two thoughts. Number one, could we be like the Bereans? You have heard a sermon. You have heard many sermons, right? Throughout your life. But I want you to go back to check my sermon. Verify with myself. For yourself, not for me. Check for yourself what I say is true. Look at articles. Look at journals. Look at things. Because in Acts 17:11, it was Luke who wrote this. To receive the message with eager, talking about the Berean Christians in Acts 17:11, to receive the message with great eagerness and examine the scriptures. Don't just listen to what is preached on Sunday. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach us so that you can go deep into God's word. The second thought that I like to challenge you is this. Are we diligent in our mission and ministries? I've seen many once in MBS, and we have got chapel service. Chapel service, the person was invited, one of the students is actually asked to go and preach. So he came back, the Holy Spirit speak to me, he talked. The Holy Spirit talked. He didn't prepare. And every one of us sit there, we know he didn't prepare. You see, that is actually abusing the work of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. But rather, even that I prepare, I couldn't sleep. I prepared and prepared and prepared since Alexa gave me the title. I've been preparing and preparing. To come up to preach, I tremble before the Lord. It's not easy, you know. You look at it, oh, Pastor Dicky preached. It trembles. You ask my wife, she'll know. I can't sleep. That's why I actually don't like to preach. I lose my sleep. Yesterday, I only slept for 2 hours. You see, we tremble before the Lord. Because we are weak people, even though we do our best. Because all of us need to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit in our weaknesses. And when we are weak, the Holy Spirit helps us. Because Paul, in Romans 8:26-28, reads, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We are weak people. It's not about intellect. It's not about anything else. It's about our hearts. We tremble before Him. Actually, I chose this closing song long ago. When Reverend Alexa gave me, I was praying and teaching, thinking what to preach and so on. And I chose this song, Come Holy Spirit, I Need You. And I was told that Pastor Juat chose the same song for pre-service prayer. We didn't discuss, right? To me, it's the Holy Spirit that enables us and examine our hearts and we look at it. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come with your power and with your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. So can you just rise and ascend team will lead us to the singing and thank God for the Holy Spirit's power in our ministries and mission.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.